you again for the Jewish Times. I'm in awe of the article.
Yeah, you got to thank my mother. This.
Yeah, it's really great. Had to reread it again last night.
Yeah, really interesting. Really interesting.
Mhm. And the letters and the leaves and the just amazing.
Thank you.
Mhm. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're continuing. Let me just make sure Van Lyne can hear me. Okay, so we're in chapter 7, and we touched on 10 last week. We finished up to 9. We went over the past 2 weeks, so I think we have it clear. We did a review actually last week, and now we're going to go forward. So let's read, and let's see what the topic is that he's taking now. And let's see if we can understand and then raise what questions appeal to us. So he says as follows. So I'm reading in Kehelis chapter 7, verse 10. Do not say, what about the earlier days, that they were to the original or early generations, that they were better than these? For you did not ask this question in using wisdom. Right? Not from wisdom was this question, did you ask on this? Then he says in verse 11, more good. Better is wisdom with an inheritance, and even more to those who see the sun. For in the shadow, in the shade of wisdom, is the shade of silver, meaning wealth. And there's increased knowledge. Excuse me, the Yisrael Das Hachach, and more and better off, and even better, is the wisdom of understanding, the knowledge of wisdom, for it revives the life. It gives life to its owners, to its masters. Okay. Let's stop this. We did three sentences. Let's read it again. So one should not say, do not say, quote unquote, what about those earlier days, the first days, the original generations, that they were better than these, end quote. So again, King Solomon comments, for it was not through wisdom that you asked this question. Then he moves on. He says, better is wisdom with an inheritance, and even better is for those who see the sun. For in the shade of wisdom is a shade of silver. But better is knowledge of wisdom, for that is something which it gives life to the owners. Yes.
Are we supposed to answer what we feel?
Well, what are the questions based on the verses? That's what we should be doing. We should be looking at the words and saying there's a problem in the verses based on whatever argument you want to give.
Okay. I think what Shlomo HaMelech is trying to say is that we shouldn't look back in sadness. We should look at it because we inherited something from what occurred in the past, and we're wealthy for it, we should just go forward and make today today.
I don't see him saying that in his words.
No?
You show me.
Um, Okay. Let me review it a little bit more.
Okay. It's very important.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the first rule is to be very, very allegiant to the words. Go ahead, Doug.
So, a couple of questions I might ask are, he says, do not say, how was it that former days were better than these? So why is he telling us, I mean, all together to get into this, and why is he specifically saying, don't say that? And he's saying it's not, if you say that, it's not out of wisdom, and I'd like to know why. What's the issue that he's getting at there?
Okay, good. I would add to your question, and I'd say, I mean, aren't there many statements that King Solomon made throughout the book? And he's quoting people's, you know, erroneous, you know, foolish opinions. So why is this the first time that he says that you're not asking this question for wisdom? I mean, it sounds like there were many things a person said throughout the book that the King Solomon was quoting that were also not from wisdom. Why is here the first time the critique is because you didn't ask this out of wisdom?
Right. And then the next thing I would ask in 11 is, it starts out, wisdom is good with an inheritance or with heritage. What does that mean? I mean, wisdom is good, period. So what's with the inheritance part? And if he says it's a profit to those under the sun, is he getting strictly at monetary kinds of issues here? Because that's what it seems like he's saying when he continues in verse 12.
Very good, very good. Exactly. It seems to me the same thing. These issues here are dealing with monetary. Exactly. Up to this point, he was talking about pride and certain emotions and ego and instant gratification, right? We talked about those were the primary issues in the past series from verses 5 through 9 that dealt with instant gratification and ego. And he spoke about that. Now he moves to a new topic. And you're right. You hit it on the head. This is dealing with the monetary. All right, and Tina, I'll get to your question. What does it mean? Whoever's in the shade of wisdom is in the shade of money. I'll explain that soon. You'll see how that comes up, Tina.
Rabbi?
Yes, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Are we just clarifying that we're changing our subject matter from emotional to something more tangible then, in terms of verse 10 through 11?
Well, it's...
And we're talking about the physical world?
I think... Well, why don't we see how it plays out, and then once we see the verses unfold, then let's see if we can give a framework to it. I don't want to prejudice, you know, our analysis by, you know, stamping, is it money, is it the physical? Let's categorize it once we've gone through it. I think that would be the better approach.
All right.
Okay. Rivka, do you see the approach we're taking now? We're looking at the words of the verses, right?
Yes, it's taking a turn.
Okay.
I was looking at it from a different point of view. I see it clearly, yes.
Okay.
Now I'm wondering why.
What is he doing here?
Right, exactly.
Okay. If anybody else has any questions or comments? Okay, so we have a number of points. Why is he asking about this? Why does he have to address that? Tell a person, don't think back about those days. Well, what's this whole concept? And then why is the response? Because you're not asking that from wisdom. I mean, he could have used that critique on many things, right? That's one point. And like Dougie, you're saying that what is this whole concept to begin with? What is he addressing over here? And there's some inheritance going on in the next verse. Somebody had a question?
No, but I just wanted to make a comment. When we look back, we're wasting today.
Yeah.
We're spending time in the past that we can't change, and we're spending today's time that we could do something about it. I mean, it's good to think about it, but not to dwell in it.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's good to think about. I mean, if a person has a thought, I mean, it's just, once you have the thought, there's nothing you can do about the fact that you thought about something. The question is, what is his critique
right.
here?
That's relevant.
Well, here, it's not a matter of dwelling. It's not a matter of dwelling he's talking about. He's saying that don't make a value assessment. He says don't say that the earlier days were better than these. That's what he's saying specifically, that you should not be doing. He's
right.
making a value
assessment.
Okay.
Okay. Right, that's true.
I wonder if part of that is because when we look back with filtered glasses on, and we tend to remember all the good stuff, and we don't remember all the hard stuff. And so it seems like, oh, the days when I was this age doing this were so great. But when you were in them, it was hard. There were ups and downs and everything else. But we tend to forget the pain. Humans seem to have an ability to do that.
Right, for sure. And that's definitely why a person does this. But the king says don't do it. You're right. You're answering why a person is motivated to do it. They must be, of course, in a state, in the current state, where they're just not as happy as they'd like to be. So they look for an escape. So that's the motive of why they're doing it. But then we have to understand that. So why is it that the critique is that the king says you did not ask this from wisdom? Why is that his specific critique? So
they never considered the subject of dental work. Anyone who thinks the former days were better than these isn't thinking about dental work.
Yeah. Or air conditioning.
That's right.
Okay.
Why is he saying?
Okay, so what does he mean that a person's not asking this from wisdom? All right, so clearly it's an emotion. But what specifically would be, wherein does he deviate from wisdom? Just because he's using an emotion, that's too much of a general statement. You get to pinpoint exactly the mistake in this specific type of a question, and then you'll see what he's getting at. I mean, this type of a statement is a great example of where the process of wisdom is avoided. So if we can answer this, we'll understand what the process of wisdom must be then. All right, everybody follow?
Yes.
Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
It seems to me that when somebody says that they're not taking into consideration the big picture, it kind of reminds me of that story about when the horses get, or the man's horse runs away, and then somebody says, oh, that's bad. And he goes, well, bad, good, who's to say? And then the horse comes back with a whole bunch of horses and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Who's to judge what's good and what's bad? And it seems to me that just to say that the past is better is not looking at the big picture.
Well, let's say it was better.
Compared to what, though?
To the current state.
Right, but, I mean, there's more to come. I mean, you can't make a judgment on that.
But he's not in there right now. He's not in the more. He's not in the future. He can't possibly know what is going to happen. It's true what you're saying. I do agree that you can't make an assessment on something right now because how will the current situation play out? That's true. But he is not saying that. He's not addressing that. He is addressing where a person will say that the prior generations were better than these. Now, what causes a person to say that? I understand that psychologically, he's unhappy. So he's looking for an escape. But what specifically is the content of his words? When he says, the previous generations are better. What do you have to say about that?
Is it that he doesn't take responsibility for the current situation because those times were better and you can't make it better in the present?
Well, he's saying that the question is wrong. He's saying you're not asking the question from wisdom. What does he mean to say? What is a wise person doing when he asks a question, as opposed to a person who's not wise? What did we say in the previous verses?
Looks at the end of a matter.
Good. So you look at the end of the matter. That means that you take in all the factors. Right? That you don't, end doesn't always mean in time. You look to the, like if you have some documents in front of you and you have to make an assessment about if this is a good paper or not, you don't read half of the documents, you read all the documents. You go to the end of the matter. You exhaust all the facts.
Well, that's what Carl said before, that people are not looking at the whole picture.
Right. This is really right.
We're taking the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Right. But here it's different. When I say over here that he's not looking at the full, he's not looking at the all the contents, because what is the person doing here when they are saying that the previous days are better? And he's saying that he didn't ask this from wisdom. What does it mean he didn't ask it from wisdom? Is that the person is really just looking at the, he's saying there was a certain, the certain good experience I had back then. Now let's take the person on their word. Let's say their older days or the previous generations seem to have it better than we have it today. But what he's looking at is the results. And he's not examining, what I mean to say, he didn't exhaust everything. I mean, when you ask something for wisdom, so what you do is you look at the factors that contribute as well. You don't just look at the effects. So just because I see somebody with a lot of money and somebody with not a lot, so I can't make a judgment, oh, having the money is good, because maybe what the guy does with his money is drug abuse. Maybe when a person looks back and they're saying that, oh, these days were better, so that the commentaries say, both Sforno and Ibn Ezra say on this verse, that the person isn't making a mistake and he thinks that it's the era. There was something about the era that was better. But he doesn't realize that nothing has changed in the laws of nature. And he says that the person would be functioning in line with how nature works and so on, and diligent in his work and so on, so then he could possibly have the same good that happened in previous generations. The error the person is making here is that he is assuming that there's some change in how the world operates. What does it mean when a person say, "Oh, the earlier days were better"? Well, what's changed? Nothing in terms of what makes things good or bad is a person compliant with a system. If he's following how the world operates, if he eats healthy foods, he's going to be healthy. If he doesn't, he's not going to be healthy. And that has not changed. But the person here thinks that it's a time. It's a specific critique on the phenomena where the person is the reason why he's critiqued and not saying that he asked if he's not asking from wisdom is because a wise person looks at the factors and he realizes nothing's changed in the universe. And then he would not be able to say the earlier days were better, because a wise person is looking at how the phenomena works, which is similar to what you were saying, Cal, in terms of exhausting all the don't make assessment right now. You lost on a horse, all right? That's right now. You're just looking with a very myopic view, and you're looking at the current moment. And now I don't have a horse. That's the worst thing in the world. No, let's see how it plays out. So similar to that, it's not the same thing. Because what he's saying over here is that the person is not using his knowledge of the factors of how the world operates. You were talking about events, Cal. You were saying that in terms of events, well, you can't assess this event because there's event is something which is part of a timeline. There's you know, time does not stop. So you don't know what's going to play out in terms of events. Here he's not talking about events. He's talking about the operation of the world. And the person here completely ignored that from his assessment. He just looked at what did the people have in previous generations. That's my barometer for whether it was good or not. And it must be there was something about that time also. So he made an erroneous statement that the era back then was a better era. There's something about the time. But what King Solomon is saying, no, you're not asking this from wisdom because you didn't look at this, like from a wise person. A wise person is not going to make an assessment on a period of time and say one's bad and one's good if he sees that nothing has changed in the phenomena of the operation of the universe. See, that's why it's not asked from wisdom, because the person did not use all the information. In terms of a guy, the horse leaves and then it comes back, well, you didn't have all that information. So you can't critique the person for saying, well, you know, he didn't make that statement from wisdom because he didn't have all the facts. The future you can't know. So I can't say right now that a guy who says, I lost my horse and it's a bad, a good thing, he doesn't know. But you can't say it's a critique on his wisdom because he doesn't. There isn't enough in front of him right now because the future has not yet unfolded. So I can't be put to blame if I say right now the loss of a horse is something is bad. It is bad. Who said it's coming back? Right now the facts are, all the facts I have in my control tell me I just lost something that's worth $1,000, whatever it was. Well, maybe something will happen in the future. It's true, but you can't say I'm wrong if I make a statement that right now the loss of this thing, I mean, is gone. Odds are it's not going to come back. So based on all my information, that would be an intelligent statement. I could end up being wrong, but that would not be a flaw. Sometimes when you're wrong, it's not due to anything you did in error. But here, the person is in error because they had the factors in front of them. Something in the past and in the present is something before the mind's eye, and you can make an evaluation and see there's nothing has changed in the laws of the universe. So there, if you make a statement just based on what people received monetarily over the years, and the, you know, 50 years ago they had a lot better than me, well, you're making an assessment and you're saying that the earlier days are better? No, you can't say that. Maybe you could say that that guy was wealthier than you, but you can't say the earlier days were better. Because the world, I mean, in terms of how things operate, nothing has changed in time. Okay, does everybody see it?
Yeah, and also, Rabbi, if I could just say something. I think what Doug had said, that we don't remember the dental work when we look back. I mean, people don't remember the whole picture.
You're right.
They remember just the spots that were good.
Right,
that's what they're looking at, because they want to find fault with what's going on now.
Of course, of course.
So they're complaining about, it's so terrible now, it was so much better before, but they're not seeing everything, and they're not feeling the pain of dental work. So I think Doug was right.
You're right, but that's not this point. That's not this point.
I know. Yeah, but that's excellent how you explained it. Excellent. Yeah, we don't see the whole picture now also, because we're not seeing the future. We just see the horse running away.
But there you can't blame... there you can't blame the person for that. A person can't be blamed for not asking something in wisdom if there's knowledge outside of his reach. And part of the knowledge that's outside of your reach is the future.
Right.
So you can't, you can't critique that person and say, well, you didn't use wisdom over there. You can't use wisdom over there. You can't think into the future. Right? You see the difference? But in the past is something which is before the person's mind's eye. Everything's there. All the facts are in front of them. And if they ignore it, then you're not asking a question based on wisdom. Okay?
Very good.
Okay. So while it's true, and I agree with Doug, and I agree with you, that the motive is the fact that a person's dissatisfied, he's going to look back to a point where he gets some comfort, but we got to keep focus on the verse. He's trying to tell you something. And it's very important. That's really where you're going to get the out knowledge from. Okay. Any other questions or comments before I move forward? I just want to make sure it's clear. Okay, so let's go further. That's my mess. You hear the bell ringing in the background?
Yes. What is that?
That's my new friend, my new 3-year-old friend.
Oh, that's cute. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe he's coming for your call.
Right. Okay. Let's move on. So verse 11. Let's see what he says now. Let's see what the series of ideas is. So now he's going further. And he says, and you know, as you pointed out, Doug, he's talking about the monetary. So now he says, really, what is the right approach? So he says, better is wisdom. He's now telling you, because you didn't use wisdom in the previous verse. So what would be better? Better is wisdom with an inheritance, which means to say that if you have wisdom without an inheritance, you're not as good off. But if you have something to work with, you have some money of something that was left to you, and you have wisdom. And now he's addressing what the right approach would be, not thinking that the world operates in a different way back then, and they had it better. No, the world operates a certain way. So if you use wisdom with the accompaniment of an inheritance when you first start out in life, so this is going to be better than what you were just talking about, where a person ignores and he thinks that there's a change in the world. No, just the opposite. The world has a certain way it operates. And if you use wisdom with an inheritance, that'll be good, and it'll be even better for those who look at the sun. I mean, it'll be even better if people follow the way the world is accustomed. See? Exactly the opposite of what the person in the previous verse. The person in the previous verse made an assessment and said, he didn't make an assessment. He just said, oh, you know, I'm having a tough time now. It must be that something about the days back then, the world worked differently. So he says, no. What's better? If you have, number one, you're equipped with wisdom. So he says like this in Swarno. He says that even in our days, don't think that the previous days they had a good. No, he says, Kigam Biamenu, even in our days, wisdom will improve matters when a person accustoms himself with the way the world works, and he has a certain inheritance of money to work with, or he has a certain trade that he was trained by his previous generations. It's like it's talked about that occurred to many of the original generations, that they became rich with wisdom, and they were shepherds of sheep and working the ground. So that hasn't changed, Swarno is telling you. And then he says, and better than this, and even more, that would occur, that those who look at the right way, the behavior, how the world operates, meaning what's under the sun. So it's a euphemism here. And he says, those who look at the sun, meaning those who look at how the world works under the sun, that they will sustain themselves with sustenance because of their endeavors that are the right ways, the right mannerisms of how the world works naturally. And it'll be very pleasant for them. And this is why the previous generation, they had it good, because they did follow this wisdom. So you see how he counters, and he tells you, so it's two sides of one coin, these two verses. And it may just be, to answer your question before, Doug, about inheritance, it may just be that's a necessary thing. Wisdom without any money to work with is not going to be as good. The really right way is you start off in life, you have to have some money to work with, buying your tools if you can be a farmer, or whatever it's going to be. You start off with something. If you're starting off with nothing, so then that's not practical. So you need three things. You need to have wisdom, so it guides your actions. You need to have some monetary you know, investment to start. And then you have to work with how the world operates. So you look at the sun, you see how things work under the sun. Okay, so far so good?
Yep, I think so.
Okay. Okay, and then he says the next verse. He says, because. Now, again, what's the rule whenever you have a verse and it starts off with the word because? It means it's a continuation of the previous thought. So that means this has to be tied in, so we can't stop. So he says, because in the shade of wisdom, and this is not Tina, is your question. So what does this mean? In the shade of wisdom is the shade of silver. That means to say that one who is operating underneath the guide of wisdom, that will lead one to success. And better is the knowledge of wisdom in one more respect, because it gives life to the owner, meaning it gives the person eternal life, and it gives them the enjoyment of that life here. So he tells you that it's true that wisdom is good, and in that we'll have success, but you can't end off a thought. You know, King Solomon can't be telling you that his final message is that you'll be able to get rich if you use wisdom. Because in Jewish philosophy, money is not the end. Money is the means. That's where he has to end off by saying the real value out of all of this is then, but when you have wisdom, that gives you eternal life. He has to make sure that this need for money, which is a proper need, and the person should look to make sure that he has a good living for himself. But keep in mind that that is not the ultimate goal. That's where he ends off the verse by saying that wisdom and knowledge is much better, because that gives life to the person. All right, and he says, who was on that? Right, so this is Ibn Ezra, and he says, there's a distinction between the shade of wisdom and the shade of silver, because wisdom gives life to its owners. Because wisdom, that is the form of the soul, the higher soul of man, that does not die with the death of the body. Okay, 1 second. Right, so Rashi also says that anybody who lives in the shade of wisdom, he'll also be within the group of the shade of silver, because wisdom generates wealth that will come. Pirkei Avos says this too. It says that a person who learns Torah, even though he's in a state of need, of poverty or need, he will eventually learn Torah from the state of being wealthy. And that could be a providential, or it could be just like you're saying here, that the wisdom that you'll gain, you'll be able to apply it to your area of livelihood, and you'll be successful. But keep in mind that success in the Torah does not mean, you know, Bill Gates. Okay? Success in the Torah means that a person is satisfied with his lot, because the person who's really living the Torah philosophy, he does not want distractions. He does not want to be worrying about all the stocks that are going up and down in his account. All right, he's very much interested in putting as much time into pursuing wisdom. He wants to uncover new ideas. So he works for what he needs, like the rabbis in the Talmud. They work half a day, and they did whatever work it was, whether they were water drawers or wood choppers, and one of them would comment, he even enjoyed the way the body warmed up when he would use his muscles and chop wood and make his living that way. So you see that their interest was not to have any highfalutin, societally, high society type of jobs, you know, position, status, fame, that was not the goal. So we shouldn't be looking, when he says over here that in the shade of wisdom is a shade of silver, that you're going to be living a lavish life, making, you know, millions and millions every year. That's not a need. It does not help the person, like Maimonides says, the people that were involved in business, and they would set to the oceans for 6 months at a time, and they'd be tradesmen and so on. At the end of the life, all the work and everything they did not benefit them at all. I mean, the person who was just living a simple life and had his food, and he had his vegetables, and he had occasional meat, and he ate in a very moderate way, and he had all this time where he was not doing all this big type of business life, but he did whatever was necessary, you know, just to keep him alive. So he had so much more time on his hands for learning. He had so less amount of, you know, so much less stress in his life because there was very little that he had to really attend to in terms of what everybody else is pursuing. Okay. So you shouldn't try to make an assessment and see people that are, you know, trying to learn and live that type of lifestyle, but, you know, how come they don't have, you know, big, you know, the brand new Cadillacs or new Maseratis? Because they're not looking for it. They're happy. They're very content. Right? And then the knowledge that a person's not taking any of that with them is something which is so real to them that they look at people who chase after, you know, big fortunes as really foolish, wasting their time. You have one time here on earth to really perfect your soul, and you're going to waste your time doing, you know, chasing after all these fantasies that you did not take with you. They did not benefit you. They hurt you. They are generating greater conviction in wrong values. Okay. All right, any questions or comments? All right, so maybe we'll wrap it up here. That's what I had prepared for today. If there's a few more minutes we have, though, so if anybody has a question on the area, I'd be more than happy to see if you want to address that before we wrap it up. Okay, so I guess we'll end it up over here. We'll pick up next Sunday. Somebody had a question?
Okay. No, very good. Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Rabbi. Have a good week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
And if those of you didn't see the article, I think it was a very interesting piece that we put in the Jewish Times this week. It was something which the Rambam, I quoted the Rambam, Maimonides, on the tablets. So take a look at it. It's a real... You know, sometimes you come across a very astonishing idea, and it just like throws you back. And this one really hit me as just being an amazing insight in how he shows it right from the verses and what the idea must mean. And take a look if you haven't yet. All right, it's on the cover. So you take a look, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right. Have a week. Good week, everybody.
You too,
Rabbi. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.